ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
I'm Carrington Clark.
And I'm Alan Kohler.
In 2026, business big and small is moving at a rapid pace. And ABC Business Daily is here to help you cut through the noise and spin Monday to Thursday.
And on Friday, I sit down with business leaders, founders, creators, change makers, and those in the know to ask them how they see the world, because that's business.
All in the ABC Business Daily feed on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Jez, it's been a while since we've spoken about cake.
Yeah, for a podcast about cake, allegedly.
Yeah.
As we've been accused
yes.
of having.
Yes.
We haven't spoken about cake for a while.
Yeah, we've both continued to eat it.
You bet.
But the reason we want to talk about it is because one of our listeners, Jez, Doug, who sent us an extract from a book called Hints on Etiquette.
This is so good, Doug.
1836.
Like, just absolutely loved this list.
Me too.
This is by the owners of Mount Lofty House in the Adelaide Hills, Arthur and Martha Hardy.
What
real
great
names.
I know. Arthur and Martha Hardy.
I'm Jeremy Fernandez in Sydney on Gadigal land.
I'm Julia Baird.
And this is a bonus episode of Not Stupid.
Bonus.
We're just going to follow up on some of the correspondence we've received from our beautiful listeners.
Just going to carry
some
on
little
for
gems
a bit.
In here.
Yeah. Jez, table manners. Was it etiquette a big thing when you were growing up?
Yeah, I remember being quite confused about it.
What did you get in trouble for?
Well, I remember one very distinct thing. We were out for lunch with family friends and the food arrived at the table and I was just like, that looks delicious, amazing, I can't wait. And my mum said, calm down.
Oh.
And I remember being pulled up on it because I was being enthusiastic about the food. I thought that's the polite thing to do.
Do you know, that was you just thinking to yourself, that's not fair. And I agree with that.
Yeah.
But, I'm pro that kind of
but
excitement.
But I still kind of, I mean, I get it about not being boisterous at the table, but I also think, why curb the enthusiasm?
Don't curb it.
But I feel a lot of it's made up, like etiquette. Can
yes.
be just so
guess
made
what
up
I got
nonsense.
It most in trouble for, probably, what? Reading at the table.
Oh, surprise, surprise.
But I'm like, if you guys aren't going to keep the conversation up, what am I supposed to do?
What did you talk about at the dinner table?
Well, I don't know. Do you know quite often Sail the Century was on in the background? So
we
could have been reading, actually.
We were very quiet at the table.
Oh, no, we did
very
talk.
Little chat.
Yeah, okay.
And so when I went to visit friends and their families would be like, chat, 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 over the dinner table, I was like, this is quite a foreign concept and I don't know if it's rude to speak or not.
Oh, that's interesting. No, I think it was pretty chatty. But I think the idea of etiquette to me has always seemed, look, there is basic etiquette, things you should do, but there's always a level which, as Australians, we've looked at, say, Britain and gone, wow, that's a bit hoity-toity.
Yeah,
there's a lot
exactly.
going on there. Yeah.
And sometimes these rules can conflict with each other, right? But I want to read you from Arthur and Martha Hardy, this book says, had a penchant for holding lavish private dinner parties at Mount Lofty House during the 1850s and
they
delighted
were well off,
early Adelaide society.
Yeah.
Now, Adelaide society is, you know, proper society,
yes.
Free settlers and all that. So here are some of the rules.
Yep.
Sit upright, neither too close nor too far away from the table.
That's fair. Far away's got a lot of problems, a bit of spillage.
Never wear gloves at the table unless the hands, for some unfortunate reason,
are unfit to be seen. What would make them unfit
Manual
to be seen?
Manual laborers,
exactly.
Take note.
Unless you're a witch, according to Roald Dahl, you'd have to be wearing your gloves.
Do not be in haste. Compose yourself, put your mind into a pleasant condition and resolve to eat slowly.
Look, I agree with that.
Just bring your pleasant self. Yeah, but like eat slowly. Like I'm a kind of wolf it down kind of guy.
I literally will just scratch my nose and your plate's empty. We've had this discussion. That's true. Keep the hands from the table until your time comes to be served. I mean, that's a bit prohibitive.
Don't drum on the table while you're waiting.
Okay, fair.
Yeah. Taking ample time in eating will give you better health, greater wealth, longer life, and more happiness. That's a lot of promises.
Well, eating slowly was a really big thing. They say eating slowly in a pleasant frame of mind, thoroughly masticating the food. Now, William Gladstone, who was obviously British Prime Minister.
At the time of Queen Victoria.
Around this time, he had rules about how many times you ate. How many times you masticated?
Yeah, so you have to chew.
I can't remember what it was, actually. I'm going to look it up while we're talking. Okay, so fact check for Mads here. 32 times William Gladstone suggested chewing your food.
Which you will find, I think, modern nutritionists will agree with.
Yeah, but try it next time. Try it at lunch.
That's
every
a lot.
Bite,
no,
30.
I'd lose count. Yeah.
Gee, he took a long time. He gave speeches that were 5 hours long. Imagine having like a meal with him. Like, he was an odd man. Oh, but this I disagree with. Never allow the conversation to drift into anything but chit-chat. The consideration of deep and abstruse principles will impair digestion.
What is an abstruse principle? I don't even know what that word means.
Like, basically abstract.
Right. Okay, so here's my original beef, right? This is forms a rule, one of these rules from Arthur and Martha.
Yeah.
Never praise extravagantly every dish set before you. Neither should you appear indifferent. Any article may have light praise. I'm just not that kind of guy.
That's
I'm
wrong.
I'm kind of like, no.
That's just wrong.
You know what I used to do, and my parents used to kind of think this was very kind of distinct. If I had something delicious at the table, I would clap kind of almost involuntarily. I would take a few bites.
And clap.
Put my cutlery down and clap.
Oh, I love that.
And I kind of still do that sometimes.
I feel like you sound like you describe yourself as the ideal little dinner companion.
Yeah. Well,
happy,
I mean, this might, maybe
into it if the food was good. What if it wasn't?
But
what if
I generally like food, so,
yeah.
You know, easy to please in that regard. I love this one, Jules. Never allow butter, soup, or any other food to remain upon your whiskers.
Look, I do try it that hard. I find that hard, but I try. What about that you're not supposed to make a display when removing hair, insects, or other disagreeable items from your food? I think it's probably fair. Place them quietly under the edge of your plate. That sounds Mr. Bean.
That's what I do.
Do you know what I remember? I remember I used to go to my great aunt's for lunch, and they would have a salad, Jeremy. It was an Australian salad. It would have two slices of cheese, like Kraft singles,
right.
A couple of slices of pineapple, a couple of slices of beetroot,
yeah.
A couple of slices of tomato.
And presented like at a tasting platter kind of situation?
Just round in a
together.
Circle. Right. No, just laid out next to each other. Right. I wouldn't say I've descended from culinary greats, let's put it that way.
It's a tasting platter of sorts.
I was disgusted because I was like, I hated beetroot. I love it now.
Yeah.
I remember the one of the greatest acts of kindness my mother ever did was when everyone was looking around, scooping those beetroot and sliding it carefully onto her plate.
Really?
I was like, oh, thank goodness. Yeah, that is a disagreeable item that I would have tried to get rid of with my food. But then they say you can't clean your plate too thoroughly. I suppose don't lick it or pick your teeth. Well, that's fair.
Now, final rule in this one, which relates directly to us, Jules.
We're taking it personally at this point.
This is why I think Doug sent this to us.
Yes, thank you, Doug.
I love it. Never hesitate to take the last piece of bread or the last slice of cake.
There are sure
to be more in the kitchen.
Yeah. So he had – that's from a principle of plenty.
Yeah.
What if there's not? Assume.
Honour the baker.
Live a life that assumes there'll be more cake.
Yes.
Do you know that Marie Antoinette never said that, let them eat cake?
Oh, really?
Yeah, someone else did. Some other noble woman. And was it brioche? The meat brioche. Without realizing that too was difficult to acquire.
Do you know, I think I blacked out for a moment because I'm thinking, I need to have a brioche. Very
it's suggestible. So good. Or make a bread and butter pudding from it.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes.
Yeah.
Chocolate and cherries. I've already worked it out in my head.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like Kath made a couple of weekends ago. Incredible. Really incredible. If anyone's not tried that, it was a brioche bread and butter pudding. Yeah, with cherries and chocolate. I think about it every day. Do you have something that you can't stand? Do you know that Queen Victoria, someone said that she did unmentionable things with her asparagus?
May be more vivid than I.
Mind-boggling, yeah. And I know we go somewhere wrong with that.
Yeah.
But I think maybe she was picking it up and crunching it through. And then when she finished, everyone else had to finish. Imagine being that person. Imagine if you were the king, Jez, as opposed to a king, the king. By the time everyone would have to be, we'd all get digestion. I happen to try to keep up with you because then that's.
Right.
Yeah, we can't start to eat until you start. And once you're finished, it's done.
Everyone puts their forks and knives down. Yeah.
But have you got anything that drives you crazy etiquette-wise?
Do you know, I'm finding myself getting really irritated by loud talking, loud chewing, just being around. Yeah.
Yes, loud talking on phones.
Yeah. And
after Japan, did you notice it when you came back?
Gosh, I loved it so much because people just have a greater sense there of a shared space, which I just don't know if we've got.
You wouldn't come and sit on someone's lap in public. No. Well, why are you shouting your conversation next to them?
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
I think I'm losing that battle. And I find myself trying to calm myself down because I don't like someone else's music taste.
Oh, no Max Richter or coming breathing. Through here.
No, no. Exactly.
Yeah, I won't get started on that because I could talk for 20 minutes about, at least, about nauseating and carrying on. But I think what is interesting, though, is that just there are actual rules if you look up or guidelines on how to eat cake. Still etiquette today.
Oh, like there's a million different forks for a start.
So there, yes.
Yeah.
But if it's dry or crumbly, you're supposed to break it into small pieces and have a bite at a time.
I did not know that.
Yep, like pound cake or a cupcake, that's how you do it.
Eat with fingers.
And that's when you're at the table, yes. But if you're eating moist cake.
Use a fork.
It's a spork, whatever people like. I think sporks are very good for cakes. Ice cream cake. Well, as we know, this is something I'm fond of because Judy Baird's favourite famous ice cream cake. It's served with a fork and the spoon. I've never done that in my life, I can tell you.
What, really? How do you eat it?
I just mash it into my face. with a spoon.
Oh, right. Okay.
But you have to use the
fork. Do you not need the fork to kind of
probably
cut it? I don't know.
No, you just, I don't know. Well, apparently now I know that was not etiquette. So, look, Doug, thank you for getting us thinking about that. Our etiquette is pass it around to everyone first and take the last piece.
Yeah. Honour the cook.
For goodness sakes, if we have to say it once. Jez, we also wanted to talk a little bit about some of the feedback we had to kindness. I told a thing about a story. My friend, who happened to make the bread and butter pudding, wrote a piece about her son in The Guardian who went out to a restaurant and, you know, could barely afford it. And it was like a nice restaurant. And at the end, he found out that the person at the table next to them, who he hadn't said a word to, had paid $100 towards their meal. And so we did get some lovely correspondence about that. And Annie wrote in that a few years back, her sons were about 2 and 4. And she took them out to lunch. It was a school holiday. She was a solo parent. She was going crazy. The kids are arguing. And the meal came out and the youngest kid didn't like it, absolutely crashed out. And she's just at her wit's end and everyone has been there at some point. But when she went to pay, the woman behind the counter gave her a bag that had a pouch of soup, an apple and a berry crumble. And there'd been a woman sitting nearby who'd just seen it all happen and had bought it for her and a little message to hang in there and have a night off preparing dinner. How gorgeous is that? You get so much judgment as a parent when that kind of stuff carries on. And here's someone going, you know what? You have a night off. I kind of love that.
Sean wrote into us about a sweet little encounter some years back when a work colleague whom he'd never seen before just paid for his coffee. And so Sean decided to kind of pay it forward and has become known as the guy who buys other people's coffees now.
That's so great.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Like it's actually literally magnified in paying it forward.
Yeah. Awesome. Charlotte wrote in and she said this is a counterpoint to the Louis Farrow manosphere influences that we were talking about last week, Jez. And she says we need to look in real life to see what young blokes are actually up to. And she had a 28-year-old son who just ordered a dinner delivery because it was a dark night, stormy. The delivery guy arrived wet and with a bleeding knee. My son insisted on checking his wound and having agreed together it didn't need professional follow-up, tried to convince him to go straight home. He was in tears when he went inside and he sent the delivery guy $100 tip to show his gratitude. And he told us about it later because he was still feeling sad and impressed that this delivery guy had so much commitment to his work that he kept on working that night. She says, my son and his friends are all gorgeous people. We need to hear more from them and what they're thinking about. I do kind of love that.
That is beautiful, Charlotte. Thanks for writing in. And that coincides with another note we got from Lisa, who has coined a new term to go with our discussion of the manosphere.
I love this so much.
This one is the nanosphere. Let's just sit with that for a moment.
Right.
Because I feel like I would study astronomy just to go
into the nanosphere. Yeah. You don't even have to study, Jeremy. You don't have to get yourself a blanket and maybe even a heated one. So a nice spot on the couch.
Yeah. So Lisa wrote to us and says, I'm starting a rival sphere, not the manosphere. It's called the nanosphere, and it's all about cups of tea, bushwalks, gardening, yarn craft, and playing music.
Relaxing. I bet you there's cake. Nanospheres, there'd be a lot of cake in there, Jez.
It's really just taking off at my house, she says. I'm not really on the socials, but shall perhaps get some T-shirts and stickers made up. If I do, I'll send you some. Lisa, you are a wonderful person.
That is fantastic.
Sign me up. Yes. I'll bring the cake.
I'll bring tea. I've got such a good tea collection.
A tea collection?
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I do have a tea collection and lots of lovely pots.
Loose leaf?
Only loose leaf.
All right, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a teabag kind of guy.
So, really, we just don't want to be creepy, Lisa, but give us your address and we'll see you next weekend. Oh, Nanosphere. We need to talk more about this. I feel like there's a lot of people inhabiting the Nanosphere and maybe even increasingly so.
And doing so quietly, I think.
Just quietly.
Like Lisa says, you know, it's just...
Not causing just other people a problem. Yeah. They're not sitting on there going online and saying, you're a piece of this, you're a what. It's just, oh, would you like a piece of cake?
Yeah.
Look at this lovely thing I saw in the garden.
With the right fork, the wrong fork, who knows?
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter, because there'll always be another cake in the kitchen.
That's right.
We're now about to float off into the Nanosphere.
Oh, I'm still thinking about brioche.
That's there too. You need
really
it now.
Yeah.
Okay, we have to go get just some brioche. Thanks, everyone.
Nice to catch up. You can email us at notstupid@abc.net.au.
And our producers are Madeline Jenner and Cinnamon Nippard. See you soon, Jess.
See ya.